living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 11. We're going to take a couple Sundays here and focus on our mission, reaching the world. Well, this past week, I found myself, we didn't just leave this out here, you know, by accident. I found myself over at my daughter's house and son-in-law and was doing a little painting. And that meant that I found myself up on a ladder, you know, working on, like, I don't know, like 10-foot ceilings, Carl? Something like that. Now, I'm not very fond of painting, or ladders for that matter. And I'm not really all that skilled at it either. So I have little things that I use besides a brush to get the job done. For instance, I've got this little tool right here. This is the greatest tool invented for painting. You know this tool? You run this along the top of the wall. It's got little rollers on there. And, you know, puts a nice edge between the ceiling and the wall. So I was doing this on the ladder, you know, doing this thing. Making my way around this room. And I got to the end. You know, really close to the end. And I've been going up and down this ladder all the way around this room, moving it, you know. And I get to the end, and I can't quite finish it. So instead of getting down off the ladder to move it again and getting back up, I decided to hold on to the ladder and stretch a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And it made me think about what we're about to do here at Living Streams. Reach farther by faith. When it comes to the mission. You know, being out here is an uncomfortable place to be. You know, I'm worried if the ladder's going to tip over, if I'm going to lose my grip, or something's going to fall apart. Not really worried about the painting job that I'm doing, but, you know. So, that's where we are right now in the life of our church. We're turning our attention for a couple weeks to the mission, to the gospel of Jesus being spread in the world, and it's going to feel a little bit like a stretch in our faith to go farther in our efforts. But you know, when we're out there in that uncomfortable place, that's the place where we walk by faith and not by sight, right? When we're hanging out there over the ladder, over thin air, holding on to the ladder for dear life, that's where we walk by faith and not by sight, except we're holding on to Jesus, wanting to see him work in our lives. God's kingdom has been undergoing an expansion project ever since Jesus came and walked this earth, lived his life, died on the cross, and rose from the grave. When he ascended into heaven, he commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. That's the kingdom expansion project. Where does the kingdom grow? It grows in two places. In the hearts of believers, as we grow by faith, as we become more and more like Jesus, as we look more and more like him. And it also grows here on earth as more and more people are added to the church through faith in Jesus Christ, through the gospel. They join the mission. And so as God's people in his church, we are partners with God in that expansion project. We are his workers in his laborers in the harvest field. And so we want to be partners with God in that expansion efforts. We read here in Acts when the project was just getting going, and then asked the Lord to help us reach farther by faith. So Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 24. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the description that it gives us of the kingdom of God growing. And we pray you use it today to inspire us to be a part of that very same mission in our world today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Acts, the church is just getting started. It's just starting to grow. And what we read there in those verses is the description of the kingdom of God advancing. And it's going farther than Jerusalem, farther than the Jews. And you can hear the expansion. You can hear the construction project in those verses, in phrases like they were those who were scattered because of the persecution. That's how God started the church. He scattered them. In James, he talks about he wrote to those who were scattered in the diaspora. So it's kind of like God took his fist and he brought it down in the middle of a puddle of light, and it just scattered out all over the place. And that's what was going on. That's how the things started to expand. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And some of them spoke to Jews. And some of them spoke to Hellenists, who were Greeks or Gentiles, as we like to know, as we know them. And so that's the first time that had happened outside of Jerusalem, that the gospel was being spread to the people outside of the community of God's people. So this is the first time that's happened. And what did they go and tell them? They told them about Jesus. They brought the gospel, the message of the Lord, to them, that you can be saved from your sins and have life with God by believing and trusting in the Son of God who came and gave his life for us. That's the message that they brought. And God was with them. It says his hand was upon them, these first missionaries, and he used them and added to the number of the people in the Lord, in the kingdom. So that's the construction project. So you've got the one illustration, hand coming down in a puddle. Take a rock, throw it in the middle of a pond that's perfectly still, or a lake, and what happens? Concentric circles come out, ripples, you know, from that initial impact. And that's what we see going on in these verses. There's ripples of the kingdom of God growing to new places and to new people. Now, once the news of the expansion spread back to Jerusalem, they got excited about starting a church there. So what'd they do? They sent one of their best guys, Barnabas, to Antioch to see what was going on and to nurture these new believers in their faith. And if you keep reading, Barnabas, being the first senior pastor of the first church in Antioch, he goes and he finds an associate pastor, somebody who could teach Greeks about God and the Jews and their history and the Messiah. Who was that? It was Saul. So he said, well, that's a pretty good pastoral leadership team in Antioch there. You got Barnabas and Saul to lead them there. Now, what was it that happened there in Antioch? What formed because of these new believers? It was a new church. First church of Antioch. And why did it happen? Because of the old story. The old story of the gospel of Jesus being spread, being communicated to those who didn't know. And God blesses that effort. The kingdom of God grows. It grows in their hearts. It grows in the world, on the earth. And that very same thing is still happening today. All over the world. It is still happening today. And so, as you know, last spring, as a church, we took several weeks and we challenged our faith. It's called the Daring Faith Challenge, to believe God in daring ways and in three areas of growing, giving, and going. And in your bulletin, you can read the goals of the Daring Faith. I just tell them to you again. It's a gathering group, more people in the stream, reach into the community with Good Samaritan impact, obey Jesus' command to go into neighborhoods and other nations, and to write God's name on the deed of our property. So those were the goals. And in an effort to pursue our going goal as a church, we wanted to try to reach farther and reach into a new country this year with our mission support. So we wanted to be one of those ripples, you know, of the Rock of Ages, who was brought down to earth, made a splash in Jerusalem with his life, death, and resurrection. And the ripple started from, we want to be one of those ripples, part of the kingdom expansion in the world, to new places, new people, and help new churches form in the world. So we want to go farther in the world. In 1998, God called me to go on my first mission trip to the country of Brazil. It was a short-term trip. I went with a group at my church, Brookville Road Community Church, and we worked on I spent my week in a hole digging a foundation for a covered basketball court for the community church of Carpina. And the guy that led that trip, his name is Steve Turner. And he is representative for Brazil for a ministry that's headquartered in Greenfield, Indiana, World Renewal International. And he's here this morning to help me share with you about the mission in Brazil and the opportunity that we have to partner with them and reach new people, new places with a new church. So, Steve, why don't you come on up and find a microphone for you. So you don't have to stand. See, you get to sit down here.
I like that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here with us this morning, and excited to hear what you have to share. I got a map for you to start. I just wanted you to start by giving us a description of the kingdom expansion project that's going on in Brazil through World Renewal International.
Okay. A little history first, quickly. You see over there Rio on the coast. As you go up, you see that part that sticks way out. We always say it sticks out like that there. That's kind of where we're at. That's Recife. The big cities on the coast, the early missionaries had a smart idea. They would go to the big cities on the coast. They would reach those cities and start churches, and then they would commission the Brazilians to go out in that vast interior. As you see, that coast is just pretty small to the vast interior. Well, the Brazilians didn't do their job. They didn't go out to the vast interior. So, fast forward centuries till 1993 is kind of when we started the missions there in 93. Telly Moraes was here studying in the United States. He is a Brazilian married to a Brit. And they went back after his 2 years of study, came and interned with community churches in central Indiana, then went back in 93 as the Word of Life director, which is one of the missions that has places where teenagers can go, and then they share the gospel with them. Of course, some of them get saved. So that's kind of what Word of Life is all about. He invited us to come back in 93, and he had this small group of people in a home church. So in 1993, there were seven of us. I happened to be on that first trip, and we came down there, and we told him, wait a minute, you just don't have a small group of people studying the Bible. You have a church. So the church plant movement in Brazil, underneath World Renewal Brazil, started in 93. Fast forward to today, there are 29 churches now in Brazil that has been started through our movement directly, And then there's probably 10 or so other churches that we have helped get started that are underneath different ministries, such as the inland missions for the native people in the Amazon region.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of started smartly, but then came along, and our goal is to reach the interior. So that, see that vast area there in Brazil? Our goal is to reach that interior. And today we know of 200 churches, or excuse me, 200 cities in northeast Brazil that have no outreach at all of the evangelical gospel. Some of those might have a Catholic church, but it's worshiping either Mary, or some of them are worshiping the priest in that area. The priest has set himself up as God. So we know of 200 communities ranging from about 5,000 to about 50,000 in the northeast of Brazil that we're targeting to reach the lost mature believers by planting churches in those cities.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking there's a ton of lives that have been changed through the ministry down there through sharing the gospel. You have one you could highlight for us, somebody that, you know, came to faith.
Yeah, we could probably highlight several in the course of time. One of the things that your pastor said was that foundation of that particular building. It's an open air building at that time we were trying to build. Just a quick update. That building now houses the Community Church of Carpina, which is our very first church. It's an open air area. They have now built walls in it. Every week, they say there's about 700 teenagers come through that church to hear the gospel. One of the guys just recently that I know of is martial arts. We started a martial arts business. I'll talk about Dave Taylor a little later, but he started a martial arts program in the school we call San Antonio. It's kind of like Beech Grove to Indianapolis. So it's a suburb of Carpina. This particular area at school 5 years ago had 1,500 students in it. Today, it has about 300 students. Why? Because of the violence in the school. The school was so bad with drugs, prostitution, violence, that the kids didn't even want to go there anymore. And they couldn't keep teachers and a principal of this particular school. So the only reason they have a principal today is because they have 4 full-time police officers in that school to protect the teachers and the principal. It's kind of weird, you know. But Dave Taylor went to this place. We were praying for it. We wanted to reach this school. I mean, you didn't have to tell them there were sinners because they was bad. He went in there with a martial arts program. The first week, 3 students came to the Lord through this martial arts program. Today, he has about 25 in that program. I don't know this guy's name. I forget their name, but I know there was 3 of them. These 3 kids then, from this really bad area of town, Dave decided to start a second martial arts program. Well, these 3 kids said, hey, wait a minute. We want to be involved with you. So they're going from one side of town all the way over to the other side of town to help Dave start this other program. So that's just one case. I mean, we can mention Pastor Ricardo. He's one of our pastors today. Pastor Ricardo was actually the first convert of the community churches in 93. Today, Pastor Ricardo is on his 3rd church, and he told me the other day, he says, I'm going to give it another year, and then I'm on my 4th church. Hmm. Pastor Ricardo today has a young congregation. I would say the average age of that congregation is probably 18, but those teenagers love the Lord. They are out there talking to people about God, and there's been conversions almost every week in that congregation. It's exciting to see.
Hmm. Yeah, wasn't Ricardo on the street when Telly found him?
Yes, Ricardo was a street kid. His grandmother, actually, his mother sent him to his grandmother. His grandmother kicked him out, and He lived on the streets in Carpina, and right before we started this outreach at this home, he was hired on by the guy at the home to be his houseboy so that he could eat and have a little place to stay. Mm-hmm. So Ricardo can really relate to those kids because he's been through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned David Taylor, kind of new to the ministry in Brazil. Want to show that video?
Yes, here? That's a good time to show this video.
Right. Let's go ahead and do that. The video about David Taylor.
I am a martial arts instructor in 3 martial arts schools that we have started. The martial arts classes are strategically placed in troubled cities. We have a martial arts class in a public school in Santo Antonio. This class is a drug and gang prevention program offered to the school free of cost. Another class is in Lagoa de Itaenga and is part of the outreach program of the community church. Finally, the third class is in the rural city of Desterro. This martial arts class is operating out of a church building purchased by the ministry. The plan in Desterro is to establish relationships in the community, then establish an active church. But these objectives are just a small part of our vision. We are planning on aiding recovery ministries, expand to additional public schools, host tournaments with local martial arts schools, provide international tournaments.
The guy in the white in the middle is one of those guys that come to the Lord.
Evangelistic outreaches in new areas. Basically, we want to reach people for Christ and disciple them. Sports ministries are just the vehicles to meet these people. As we develop martial artists with a passion for Christ, we will continue to expand our ministry in new frontiers, sending them out to new cities, schools, and areas we can serve with the local church.
So that's David Taylor's ministry, and he's part of a Glory Sports.
Yes, he's part of the
arm of World Renewal. Aren't
Glory Sports. We have 5 arms, and he's one of the arms is Glory Sports. Dave's a pretty neat guy. David was actually a champion of mixed martial arts here in Indiana, and then he was actually injured, so that kind of ended his career in mixed martial arts. But 5 years ago, God was nudging on him to go to Brazil on a short-term trip, so that kind of started his journey into Brazil. David had a really bad marriage situation. His wife was running around on him and gotten drugs. Today she's in jail on a drug charge. So that was before, actually it was right before he got saved. And then, of course, they've been divorced, and he has 3 children, but one of his children, his wife influenced and is now in jail too. His 2 other children are with him in Brazil. It's really interesting how God works. He went to Brazil. He started this mixed martial arts program because he really felt that that was a way to reach the lost. In the process of starting this program, he fell in love with Ivana, one of our other Brazilian, she's a Brazilian gal, that again, she had a really hard marriage and he was beating on her and she was divorced. So they fell in love and now they're married. His kids, when they first went to Brazil, they hated Brazil. They hated the Lord. They wanted nothing to do with anybody. So this was a year and a half ago that he actually went full-time to Brazil. In a year and a half, those kids are loving the Lord. They're learning the language because they told me they would never learn Portuguese because they're going to go home. Well, now they've learned Portuguese. They're making friends. They're involved with him in the mixed martial arts programs. It's exciting to see what God's doing in Dave's life. And Dave said on this tape, which was produced, I think, a month ago, that there was 3 programs. Well, now there's 4 programs. Last week, they opened up a new martial arts program to Padau, one of our church plants. They worked it in the public schools. Of all things, Most of these are in public schools. So 2 out of the 4 are in public schools. Public schools are begging us to come. In fact, David has 10 public schools lined up right now to do mixed martial arts and share the gospel.
Now, how does he do that? How does he go from the martial arts to the gospel?
Dave uses the program, brings the kids in. Of course, it's all about self-defense. And some of these kids, they need the self-defense because they're getting attacked on the road. As he goes along, then, he will give them like about a half an hour program. Then he will come along and he uses it. He shares what I would call principles, gospel principles, to these kids, and then shares how these principles fit in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's using the principles so that they understand, and then shares, okay, these principles are all about Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, of course, then the principles are not going to work. He does this actually with my son, Jeff Turner. Jeff is in the program with him, has come alongside of him to be his interpreter, to make sure that when he is talking or when he's doing this in English, Jeff can interpret it exactly right so the Portuguese people can understand. He's been there a year and a half, so he's learning Portuguese, but he's not to that point where my son's been there almost 10 years. So the difference is that Jeff can interpret and make sure it's interpreted right to him. So that's kind of one of the ways. And then he takes the kids that are interested in the program, and he sets aside and does Bible studies for them. So not only when you see it, there's 4 programs going on, but then you got to realize that there's 4 also Bible studies going on at different times. So really, if you think about it, he's got 8 things in a week right now he's doing, as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. Now, one of the places that he mentioned in the video is the town of Desteio.
Desteio.
Tell us about that town.
Desteio is one of our, we have actually, in the last 6 months, we have 2 new church plants. Desteio is one of those. Desteio is a little town, and you saw the flyover of Desteio. It's about 5,000 to 6,000 people. They have 1 other church in the city. It happens to be a Catholic church, and the doors happen to be nailed shut. So this is a town, one of those towns we've been praying about, that at this time has no outreach of the gospel. It had a Baptist church in it. So there's a Baptist church that has a sanctuary, 2 classrooms, of course, bathroom facilities. This Baptist church has been in this town 10 years. I don't know what they were doing, so forgive me for that. But in 10 years, they reached nobody. The pastor said he had 2 people that he started with, and those 2 people after 10 years were the only people in the church. So they said, hey, we don't want it. We're giving up, you know. Funny, they always find about us that with church planning, they came to us. They offered a building. This building is probably $50,000. They offered it to us for $16,000, so we bought it by faith. One of those faith promise things. We bought it by faith. So then it sat there for about a year because we had a pastor. We thought, oh, this is great. We have a pastor who wants to go. Pastor went, didn't like it, came back. Well, now, Dave's gone there, and he's got, he does 2 programs actually at that location. So he does a program for those 6th grade and under, and then he does a program for high school age up. So he has older gentlemen. In fact, I think the oldest gentleman that's coming to do the program for the oldest is 50 years old. So he has 2 programs. In the lower program, he has about 25. In the higher program, the ones from high school on up, he has about 35. And at this time, I know that there's like 7 or 8 of those that have come to the Lord. So we have a good nucleus to plant this church in Desteio. Now, because Dave Taylor is doing these other works, we're going to bring in Guga. It's Gugo Carlos. Gugo's his kind of nickname that they have. Everybody seems to have a nickname, and Gugo's happens to be his nickname. Gugo is married to Alyssa, and Alyssa happens to be Telly's second daughter, and they just got married. And Gugo wants to come in and plant this church. So we're excited that we've got a pastor that's excited about planting the church. We've got 7 members already saved. And like I said, we've got probably 50 that's kind of interested because of the martial arts. So we're excited about this day. Oh, this is going to be a good church plant.
Yeah. It sounds exciting. Brazil has just been a very open place for the gospel to spread. And people have been very receptive to the message and how God is changing lives there. It's really exciting. And so we're really glad that you came today.
Brazil's economy is pretty bad. Their corruption, as if you followed anything on the news, they got rid of their president. They have got rid of the Supreme Court justice, and now they're going after the Speaker of the House that's corrupted. So they're trying to get rid of their people that are corrupted in office to try to get their economy back. Their economy, just a year ago, we could get one U.S. dollar for 5 of their dollars. Mm-hmm. Well, now I understand going in. I'm leaving in a week and 2 days to go to Brazil for 8 weeks to do some work down there. And I understand I'm going to get $2.50 for my $1. So it's pretty bad. Trouble is also, as you know, a 2-liter, like a 2-liter Coke or 2-liter Guaraná, which happens to be their favorite pop, used to be a year ago, I could buy that for 2 reais, which is their money. Today it's 6 reais. So that's the difference in their economy. I did bring this along. It's out on the table for more information about Brazil and the ministry, so you can look at this.
You stay right there.
I know I got something else to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go back over here. So that's the opportunity that we've got for partnering and going farther in the world, partnering up with World Renewal International. And to take advantage of that, we're going to have to go a little farther in our promise as we think about supporting our missionaries. The way that we do that is what we call faith promise giving. And it is believing that God could provide an amount of money for us to then pass on to these missionaries when he provides it. And we do that through the missions fund. Now, who are our missionaries? We support Dan Miller, who works in the heavily Muslim countries of the world. He's headquartered in the south of France. And he just had lunch with him yesterday. And he was telling me they have 39 or 40 house churches of people that have come out of the Muslim world and are learning about Jesus and growing in their faith in him. So he has this curriculum that he's put together, and it's been happening a long time. And so they are into new places, always looking for new countries and new translators, and things are going well for him. Felipe and Valerie Colby are working with His Eyes Ministry in Honduras, and they have a medical clinic down there, and they do a lot of clothing and food distributions, and they have church plants. So they're down there spreading the gospel that way. And then, of course, Pastor Macquan and Roshan working right here in Indiana to reach Indians who are lost in the Hindu and Islam religions. So when you give to missions, you're giving directly to these families and their work in the kingdom expansion project that's going on. And again, we hope to add David Taylor to that lineup as well, and the church in Esteio, Brazil. Now, as I come to Faith Promise this year, I'm keenly aware of the challenge that we face to support our missionaries, as we also are working to be faithful to our daring faith commitments. And so I can feel the stretch, like I am hanging out there over thin air with the ladder. But I wanted to remind you, with Faith Promise giving, it is not a financial challenge that we face. It is a faith challenge. Daring faith giving is sacrificial. And so we're giving it to God before he gives it back to us. And we're trusting him to provide for our needs. Faith promise giving is believing God for a certain amount, and then when he provides it, we turn around and give it. And so that's kind of the difference. So it's a matter of faith and believing. And so kind of how it works is the cards were on your seat. If you didn't get one last week, they were on your seat when you came in. And you just take that home and begin to pray, talk about it as a family, and ask God for an amount. And just say, Lord, could I believe you to provide, say, $100 through our family over the next 12 months that I don't know where it's going to come from? And if the answer to that is a strong yes, you need to up your number. You know, maybe go to 200 or 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 or wherever the Lord might lead you. It's a matter of faith. Can God provide this? And when you feel the edge of your faith, when you feel the stretch, you found your number. And then you want to put that on the card and bring it back and put it in the offering box by the first Sunday in December. Now, last year, I was feeling like I wanted to grow in the grace of giving, and so wanted to up our number in our faith promise giving. And so we talked about it as a family, and we shared and went ahead and did that. We upped our number, and I could feel the stretch. But do you know that in January, God provided the entire amount for us because of a work comp insurance settlement I received from being attacked by a goose the year before out here on the property? I mean, that was just amazing. And that's exactly how faith promise works. It came out of nowhere. And it's like, thank you, Lord. And we, you know, shared that as a family, and we rejoiced over what the Lord has done. Now, faith promise giving is not new to me. Actually, Steve's been doing it longer than I have. And Brookville Road is the place that we learned about this and practiced it over the years. Steve, tell us about a faith promise testimony from your life.
Yeah, I've been doing this actually since 83 when I got to Brookville Road Community Church. And I will say right off bat, before I give a little testimony, you know what? God has never, in our lives anyway, not met our faith promise. The thing that you have to remember is you're going to get, when you stretch yourself out there, just like you said, when you stretch yourself out there, God's going to bring money into your home that you don't know where it comes from. Well, you just got to remember, that's the faith promise. That's the money he wants you to pass on. That's the thing. Some people forget that. I've seen it over the years. I had one guy come up to me. He was so excited. Man, you wouldn't believe it, man. I didn't realize it, but I got a $2,000 check. I didn't know where it came from, but somebody gave me $2,000. I said, what's your faith promise? What do you mean, what's your faith promise? You know? I said, what did you promise God you were going to give in mission? He said, $2,000. I said, there you go. That's your answer. He forgot that that was what he was doing. Well, one of the years, and there's been several years that this has happened, when faith promise time comes around, at least in mine and my wife's life, we figure out what we can give. So I'm going to use an example as $1,000 just as an example. So we figured out and we said, oh, well, this year I can give $1,000, no problem at all. Well, that's not faith. Well, this one year, we said that and we said, okay, by faith would be stretching it double. So we'll give $2,000. So we were stuck on $2,000 until next Sunday, and we got in church. And after church service and pastor was preaching, we come back, ate dinner, and we said, you know what? I think we ought to double that. So we took the two, we doubled it to four. We come back the next Sunday. Sure enough, God was talking to us again. You're not there yet. So we took the four, and he said, you need to double it again. So we doubled it to eight. We got into the service when we were supposed to turn in our cards. And I looked at, I remember very distinctly, I looked at Ann, she looked at me, and I said, God's telling us to double it again, isn't he? And she said, you bet. So we doubled it again. That year, was probably the funnest year we ever had. It was so fun that I remember Pastor Hubert would seek us out after church and said, tell me what happened this year or this week. Every week, God was bringing in extra money that we knew that was the faith promise. So, what do I say? Am I 16, right? 32? Is that where I'm at, I think? Just as an example. Well, when we were all said and done, God brought in the 32, but he also brought in another 16. Mm-hmm. So when we were done at the end of the year, we looked back on, we said, oh my goodness, look what God did. Mm-hmm. And we were stretched because we were praying every week, but it got so much fun to just give that money that God had given us. Mm-hmm. It was great. But faith promises that. Faith promises trust in God for what he wants to do through you. You know, God wants to do big things. And sometimes we don't stretch ourselves out there far enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Steve. It's good to hear things like that, you know, to help us think about this. And, you know, when we think about the stretch, it feels a little less precarious when we think this is God providing this and not me. So we put our focus on him and then things change. So faith promise giving is an act of faith. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So faith promise giving is an act of faith. It's also an act of love. I mean, it's hard to imagine in this world today that there's people living on the planet who have never heard the name of Jesus, who don't know about God's love for them and what God has done for them, and don't know how to have life with him. But there are. I mean, there's people in Honduras, and there's people here in Indiana that Pastor Mike Juan's trying to reach, and Dan Miller over there in the Arab Peninsula. People lost in these religions, and when we give to support our missionaries, it's an act of love toward those people who don't know. And I was thinking it's the kind of love that we may never know what impact it has on the kingdom growing. But I always think about when we get to heaven, you know, people coming up to one another, thanking each other. Thank you for giving, because that got the gospel to me. And I heard about Jesus and believed. That's going to happen when we get to heaven. So it's an act of love. It's also an act of worship. Understand that the money may not come in all at once like it did for me last year. It may come in a little bit like Steve's did over maybe every week. And that's okay. This is a faith thing. It's an all-year-long January to December kind of commitment. And it's fun to see how the Lord provides for that. But every time that extra money comes in, I don't know about you guys. Well, I do. Because there's always some place to use that money. I mean, there's always some place for it to go. There's always a need, or there's always a want. And then when we get extra money, you know, it's like we get a coat out of the closet and put it on. We haven't worn it for years. We reach in and find $5. What happens? Oh, we do the dance of joy. You know, oh, there's lunch. But when we turn around and honor the Lord with our wealth, that's an act of worship. Instead of spending it on ourselves, instead of meeting a need in our lives, and we turn around and give it to the missionaries here, that's an act of worship. And so we can count on God blessing us when we do that. We can count on him honoring our tithes and offerings and sacrifices that we do. And when you hear that, don't hear monetary sense. That's not what I'm saying. Although God can do that, he can bless you monetarily, and actually, when you're a river of generosity instead of a reservoir with your money, he will. He will give you more because he knows you're going to be generous with it. So giving is such a huge area of worship in our life with God. And this year, let's go farther together in our promise and see what he will do through us all year long as we believe him to provide for us. So take the cards home and begin to pray about it. We want to receive those back by December, first Sunday in December, so we can set our budget for the coming year. faith promise giving. It's an act of faith, an act of love, and an act of worship. On the card, you'll see that there's a $17,000 goal on there for us, and that will continue to provide support for all of our missionaries and add on Brazil as well into that. But by all means, don't let 17 be the ceiling. If we can bust through that, praise the Lord. You also see on there, there's a 100% goal, 100% participation goal. You might think, well, that's a little bit unrealistic. But I just want to remind you that you don't have to have a job. You don't have to have money in the bank account. All you need to have is faith. And I've seen my kids do this. I've seen God use them to give to missionaries. So anybody can do this. That's why it's 100% participation. So take those home and begin to pray about it and trust God for the next year's support. Let's have our worship team come back. New people, new places, new churches. Let's go farther next year together. And let's pray together and pray for Brazil and Steve's ministry and David and what's going on down there as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for time today to focus on your mission in the world and the gospel of Jesus spreading throughout the world. And we're thankful to hear about how you've been working in the country of Brazil. And we want to ask your blessing on Steve and on his son Jeff and on David Taylor and Pastor Telly and the whole family there, World Renewal family down in Brazil, who are working to plant churches and reach new people in new places. So, Lord, just go before them and provide for them, protect them. And we trust, God, that you're going to use them to bear much fruit for your kingdom. We pray for Steve's trip here as he gets ready to go, just to do for travel mercies, and that it'd be a good trip, productive for him, and he'd be able to do what he's going down to accomplish, Lord. And as we go out, Father, and we begin to pray about our faith promises for 2017, that you would stir in us to think bigger, to think like we're going to go farther and participate in helping the gospel spread throughout the world. So thank you for the opportunity. Use us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.